If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode of The Boop Show is sponsored by Arcane, a Netflix original series from the creators of League of Legends. Dive into League of Legends and uncover the origin of some of your favorite champions with the animated event of the year. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the episode 311. Your color of your energy is amber. Hi. Everybody, welcome back to the Boop Show. This is Boop, where we talk about indie games. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian Dunaway. Good morning or afternoon.
Good morning to you, Scott Johnson. Somewhere, maybe in Australia.
Yeah, it's a freaking
good morning.
5:45 your time, I think. Right?
It is 5:45 p.m. there. If you're driving in the morning time,
yeah.
Have fun. Get yourself a donut and be careful with that coffee.
Donuts. I don't eat those anymore, but I could sure
I
go for one.
I can't eat them either, whatever, but still, you can.
I want to, but I won't. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's good to be here. We're going to talk about some indie games. We delayed today. We apologize for that. If you're wondering where the podcast is, well, now you know it's in your head and you're hearing it, and we're a day late. Thank you for your patience.
Maybe it'll be good for you. Maybe be like, I didn't know I liked Boop Show on the day later than it normally was. So it's just a treat.
Yeah,
it's a treat. You shouldn't look at it as a negative. You should look at it as a positive.
Yeah, look at it as a treat. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I didn't expect this, but I sure am playing Forza Horizon 5 a whole lot. And I know that's not an indie game, but boy, do I feel like driving right now. I don't know why. It's kind of just good, that game, turns out. And,
it is. Everybody is playing it. That's on my list, and it may not. This show sometimes kind of teeters between two things: indie games and Game Pass. Mm. So, like, games as a service is something that we talk a good bit about on this show. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think Forza Horizon 5 is right in that.
Yeah, same with Halo. What is it called? Halo Ultra Unlimited.
Infinite.
Halo Infinite, the multiplayer, free-to-play multiplayer thing, which they announced forever ago, got surprise launched yesterday, along with that 20-year anniversary stuff. Yeah, so that thing came out of nowhere, and everybody I know is playing it. I haven't had time. I will later tonight, though. I got it all downloaded, ready to rock. Just got to get in there and play, so looking forward to that. I expect we'll have massive coverage on Thursday for Core, so if you're looking for that, check that out on Thursday
night. Massive coverage.
Massive coverage.
Hey, I've been playing the crap out of Stranger Things.
Now, hold on now. Is this on that new Netflix app that lets you play games and shit or whatever?
No, I don't know. I know what you're talking about. Yes, Netflix is now getting into games, and I think they're just doing that old one they had, the little pixel art game. Gotcha. I think that's what they're doing on the Netflix.
They're starting now,
this was
that
actually
way.
On the yeah. Apple. This is on the Apple Arcade. It's the Stranger Things Puzzle Tales.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it is kind of like this cartoon-inspired, story-driven puzzle role-playing game thing. This match 3.
Okay, and it's good.
I can't decide. I can't decide if I like it because they're doing this kind of 80s thing where they do a cartoon translation of a live-action thing, and then they introduce a whole bunch of extra characters, which is usually good, in those cartoons because, you may not have been able to get the original voice actors and stuff. There's no voice acting in this. So they just tried to get that feel and they added a whole bunch of characters in, in the town. Some of them I do know, I recognize immediately, but then others I'm like, I don't want them on my team.
Yeah.
Because as you do your match 3 to go through the, to the levels in different areas, you have to pick a team. Mm. And each one of those characters are associated with a particular color gem. And so they have a whole bunch of characters. I'm like, I don't want the trash. I want the big five.
I didn't know this was I've never even heard of this game. I knew there was that little adventure pixel game, but I don't think is that, right? This is
that's
something
not
else.
That. Okay. No, this is something Stranger Things Puzzle Tales, and it's got legs. I like it. They're not, and you know, it's, you know, there's free, but there's you know, in-game purchases and stuff. But I haven't had to buy anything. They've been very generous with letting me just play.
Stoic Squirrel in the chat says it's a great game. Rusty Nail says it's okay.
It's right. That's how I feel about it. It's somewhere between, you know, it's okay. It's okay, or it's somewhere between there. Sometimes I find myself enjoying myself, and other times I'm kind of like, let's play something else.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know. Yeah. Does it do the columns thing where if you're in a lane, whatever attacks you do with the gems that happen to be in that lane, they're going to kill only the thing or hit the thing in the middle and then the ones on the side. And if you get a big long one and hit everybody, it's like that kind of deal. Cause there is no shortage of those. There's tons of those.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly. It's a lane thing, and it's not, you know, and instead of gems falling down, they're going up as you destroy things. So it's a little bit different, but yeah, there's plenty of games out there like this already. Just it's branded with the Stranger Things thing. And if you like that, which I do, but like I said, it gets a little too radical in some parts. And it's like the kids have a little bit too much Saturday morning 90s attitude.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
is it 90s or 80s? I mean, it's set in the 80s. So they, but are they invoking more of a 90s vibe or what?
The game feels more 90s attitude-ish. You know what I mean? Like where everything's like serious, that the early radical kind of stuff. Very late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
I've cartoon eras.
Lived through that nightmare. It's all
good. Yeah.
Chat room also asked just one quick question here. Scott, are you guys doing a Forza Horizon 5 group?
Yes.
Are we? I don't know. How do you do
that? Well, are we doing anything official? No. But a lot of the Mission Deepers who hang out with me over in the Mission Deep have they've got the Frog Pants Auto Club, which I joined.
Oh, I want to be in there. Shit.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's tons of people in the community there, both our communities.
Yeah. I want to know. I want to know more about that.
Yes.
Well, anyway, good to know. Video games are great. We love them. And so today we're going to talk about some of those games. Specifically some indies that we played, and we'll do that now. Right after this news. I forgot. We got to talk about these upcoming games, stuff that's releasing this week.
Yeah.
All right. So
you had the audio queued, but you didn't have your mind queued.
My mind was not queued, which is pretty much par for the course so far this week. Boopshow.reddit.com. There's currently a really cool discussion going on right now about what upcoming video games in the indie space you're looking forward to the most. Go let your voice be heard at boopshow.reddit.com. All right. This one I have my eye on. I've asked for a code. I don't know if I'll get it. I hope I do. If I don't, I might have to pick it up anyway. This is a game called Grow, Song of the Evertree. Yes. Comes out today, the 16th. It is out now. This is on Steam, PS4, Switch, and Xbox One. I know it'll run on a Series X and S. I assume a PS5 would play it. If you buy it there, I don't actually know that.
I was curious about that. That's how it was listed, and I was curious too. I didn't see PS5 anywhere, so I don't know.
It should.
What?
If it doesn't,
exactly.
That's lame.
It should.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
They didn't list it, but I'm, you know, I don't know if they just weren't thorough or what. Yeah. But hey,
who knows? It looks really, really pretty, though. So here's their description: grow your own worlds and nurture a deep natural connection with everything they hold. See your actions change the world for the better. Bring the Evertree back to life in this breathtaking world crafting sandbox. With life management and adventure elements. So think Stardew Valley, but beautiful 3D engine and a bunch of weird, like, kind of fantasy elements. That's the game. So
this is coming out from 505 Games. The publisher and developer is Prideful Sloth. But 505 Games has got tons of titles.
They don't make poo. They make good games.
No, there's tons of stuff out there.
I'm sure there's some game that's not great, but, you know. They made Portal Knights
because that's a great game.
Yeah, and they made your that thing you like, the delivery service thing. What's it called?
Yes. Wait, let me think. Last Day of June is the one I played not too long ago. But they also pushed Death Stranding.
That's
Ghost Runner.
Yeah, but that's definitely a 505 joint, I think. Death Stranding is, right? I think so. Yes, anyway, that's out today. So if that sounds interesting to you, maybe go check that out. The next one up, we have The Last Stand Aftermath. I backed these guys on Kickstarter. And I've got my code. I got to just go download the damn thing. I backed it back when they first launched the thing. This is from the creators of the Last Stand Union City and Dead Zone. all-new single-player roguelite action-adventure. After you become infected by the zombie virus, you set out to explore the post-apocalyptic world and find hope for your fellow survivors. You can still make a difference. Don't give up, they say. It's like isometric, three-quarter view looking, you know, the Diablo view, I should say, in the action and the gameplay. I think it looks really nice. It looks nice and violent. I know plenty of people are sick of zombies, whatever. I'm actually excited about this one. So that is out today as well. $20 to $25 looks like in most cases, unless you backed it on Kickstarter, mm-hmm. then you're just getting a code. Steam, Xbox, SNX, PS4, and 5 availability today. So go and get it if that sounds interesting to you. We're looking at some video right now that looks really nice. Lighting's
nice.
It
looks fantastic. So far as getting mostly positive reviews, it did just come out today, but it's already racked up 113 reviews on Steam.
Yeah.
And getting a mostly positive look so far.
I'm excited about this one.
I am too. This is on my list. Did I add it to? I think I requested a code. We'll find out. I request codes at keymailer.co because if you're a streamer, then that's a good place to hang out and support those people. I enjoy.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I enjoy that stuff.
Also, Undungeon, which I think you're going to review next week, right?
Correct. That's on my list. It comes out day one, Game Pass this Thursday. Yep, I believe 18th. It is Thursday. And while you're playing Forza and Halo Infinite, I'm going to be over playing some indie games, Undungeon.
Yeah, it looks cool. So Undungeon is a gorgeous, they call it, action RPG, driven by intense real-time combat and an immensely rich science fiction story. There's no social fiction going on here. It looks really cool. You travel between dimensions, change the world around you, and attempt to reconstruct the shattered multiverse. Colorful pixel art business right up your alley if you're into the stuff we're into. You got different versions of Earth, and they're all merged together in a giant cataclysmic event known as the Great Shift.
Oh, no. I got a great shift. It's on the left-hand side.
I was going to say.
My lesser shift on the right-hand side.
The great shift is what I call my caps lock key when it's on. It's called the great shift. Oh,
that's smart.
The event damaged the fabric of time, space itself, seemingly beyond reconstruction. But you, a herald, will join a recent interdimensional organization. Not recent. Secret is what I meant.
A herald?
Herald.
I know a herald.
Herald, not herald. Herald. It's the same word, right? I mean, it sounds the same
word.
There's herald and there's herald.
Yeah.
English is weird. Anyway, you're going to want to check this out. Available on the 18th, like you said, coming to Xbox One, S and X, Switch, PS4, Steam, Game Pass, day one. Again, that's a weird one. This one lists Xbox One and an S and X, but only PS4, not PS5. I don't know why that is.
Right. And this is data that I mine from the Google. Right. And so it usually shows it, but this just doesn't, neither one of those mentioned PS5. I just don't know why.
Weird.
I didn't research any further. I just said, okay, click, copy, paste.
As far as you went and you said, that's it. That's all I'm doing.
Yep. Why not? I don't know. You tell me.
Why not? Sue you is what you're saying. Not kill
boop,
you.
Boopshow@gmail.com. Tell us why.
Yeah. Tell Brian why he's just wrong about all this. All right, let's get ready to move on. Before we do, Boop Show is just one third of the Frog Pants trilogy of video game shows. Indies are talked about here on Core. We look at the wider industry, including consoles and big releases like AAA stuff in the vein of like Halo Infinite, like we just mentioned, and upcoming games from Sony and everybody else. So go check that out. That's on Thursday nights. You can get the podcast at frogpantsplays.com, as well as the instance on Fridays where we hit the big issues. Last week, we talked about which IPs in the video game world are ready for live action television or movie. And we had a great discussion, myself and Jocelyn. So go listen to that as well. Theinstance.net. We might talk about, it's just too big to ignore, but I think before this week out, Activision Blizzard CEO, Bobby Kotick will probably be out on his ass, either resigned or they're going to kick him out, because today some gnarly business dropped with some pretty heavy receipts and I think he's screwed. So,
It seems like some people can't stop.
Yeah.
Won't stop.
Can't stop, won't
stop. Ain't gonna stop.
Ain't gonna stop for nobody, never. all right, let's get into the games that we played this week. I played Dungeons of Edera, Or it's Edera. No. How would you say it if you just saw that sight unseen there? That name.
I would say Era is very strong. E R A at the very end. So I would probably do the same. Edera.
Edera. Okay.
Dungeons of Edera.
Edera. So there's nobody named Ed involved, but there is this game. It's called Dungeons of Edera, and I bought this. It was $10, and I thought, well, I'll pay that for a game. Let's see what that is. Some small indie, and people were raving about it. I'm like, oh, okay. Some had compared it to Valheim, which I don't think is actually a fair comparison. I think the comparison they're making is that it's a strong, it's an early access, but it's already in a good place. Like they like what the game is doing, and now it's just about, you know, polishing and building on the engine and all of that. But basically, the game is this. It's the best way I can describe it. It's like a third person. It's so easy to say this with so many games. It's like third-person Diablo, kind of.
Yeah.
But again, it's got these roguelike elements, so you're going to die a lot and take money back with you and spend it on upgrades and that sort of thing. So that's all there. But the game itself is this very nice-looking 3D engine. It's all done in Unreal. The only problem I have with it is it's clearly very, very early in the graphics. Either that's true or these guys need some help. I don't want that. I don't mean it to sound rude or anything.
And maybe that's the comparison for the earlier comparison, because that game, also the Valheim game, is very intentionally low.
Well, it's intentionally low res looking. I think this isn't that. I think they're aiming for some realism and some nice looking graphics. And it's not, you know, you've already got a lot of built in features in the Unreal Engine 4 that, you know, are fine here. Like lighting's fine.
Right.
And the environments are fine and all of that. But the characters, they're just all a little wobbly and goobly, and they kind of float in a weird way. And the bad guys, I don't know. They just are weird. The VO is real bad so far. That's something they definitely want to try to improve, I hope. When you talk to an NPC, their mouths don't move. They're just stiff and staring into nothingness. And I don't know. That stuff's a little disconcerting. Again, early access, so who knows what they're going to do. The game feels like they've got the loop down, like they really know what they want you to do in the game, but how they want that to look and sound is still on the table.
Right, and everything I've seen so far is pretty much hack and slash. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, lots of hack and slash, but also there's magic and there's bows and arrows and, you know, there's all these different kinds of archetypes you can be during your runs. There's the campaign mode, which kind of acts as sort of a more controlled version of the game, but there's also this like new run mode, which dungeon mode, whatever it's called, where they just start you with a bunch of random stats and abilities and equipment, and you just go for it. That's probably where the long tail of the game will be, is that kind of game. It's, you know, the interface is okay. In some ways, I really like it. Like some of the graphics on the action bar are pretty cool, but then some of the text that pops up looks like it's in, you know, freaking DOS or some shit. It just looks bad.
Right. So it looks like they had like some really good big talent on one end, and, or, you know, it probably somebody wearing a couple of hats going,
probably,
well, I'm not great at this, but I can do it.
Yeah. You know, there's probably some really smart game designers here.
Right.
And then, but they're also doing some of the art, animation, and VO.
Right.
And it's kind of embarrassingly bad right now. But
it is in the indie scene, though. We see this a pretty good bit. I would probably rather have good gameplay over, you know, fantastic graphics. Now, don't get me wrong. I do like me a good looking game. If I'm bored after 5 minutes with the gameplay, I'm out.
If they can do both, I'll be happy. That's all I need.
Right.
If it plays really well and it feels really good, then that's fine too. The game just needs to be
early
tuned.
I'm getting like a early Skyrim kind of vibe right now that I'm looking at. It's kind of,
I mean, a little bit, yeah. It's like dirty fantasy, and they're just staring.
She makes me want to go in and steal her stuff when she's not looking. That's what is going on right now.
You're gonna take her cheese wheels and take them back to your house. The game has got, you know, some real potential. You just witnessed one of the things that drives me nuts. When a pile of gold emits from an enemy, you kill somebody and their gold falls out.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It pops out like a solid piece of meat, like just a glowing yellow hunk of polygons. It does and, not
oh my
feel
God,
like
you
money.
You launched that guy. Are you superhuman? You launched him over houses.
There's a lot of that going on in this game. And it's not that I think the game's just undertuned on its ragdoll physics or something. It's hard for me to say.
And maybe they like it. Maybe they think it's hilarious when something like that happens.
Yeah,
maybe
when you do it to a goblin, it's actually extra funny when a goblin does it.
Right.
Anyway.
Those are long swords, man.
Oh, they are. Right. They're big time long. Now, one thing, you wouldn't have noticed this because you haven't played it, but I noticed when I first saw this video that it's different every time. There's the dungeons, the outdoor environments, and the dungeoneering stuff, all randomly generated every time you're in it, all procedurally generated. And I'm That's a big impressive. Fan of that because it makes stuff last longer, more fun in the long run, that sort of stuff. So
I like it in my roguelikes especially. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I like that stuff. It feels like third-person Diablo. It's dark. It's got some blood, but not very well-rendered blood. They got to work on that, too. It's just a little cartoony at this point. But came out
Dungeons
on the 28th.
Dungeons of Ezra, right?
What is it? What'd you say?
Dungeons of Ezra.
No, does Dungeons of Edera. Ezra. Now you threw me and I can't think of anything but Ezra now. Developed by Monster Tooth Studios. This came out in August, so it kind of went under the radar. I didn't know about it until recently. It was on sale for $10. I think it still is. And the reviews are really glowing. People are like, yeah, it's ugly, but it's got a good skeleton. And when that skeleton gets all the right flesh on, it's going to be amazing. That's an interesting,
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's a good analogy. I think it works. And again, environmentally, it's fine. The game looks nice. The houses, the buildings, the stuff, the dungeons look good. It's all, dark and cool and all that. But they just got to polish the damn thing. And again, I paid. Well, it looks like I paid.
Polish your turd, people.
Yeah, polish your turd. So there you go. Here's my experience with it. Again, a little janky. The underpinnings are there. I think it'll work out in the end. I recorded a little bit of audio from it. Here's some bad dialogue. All right, so enjoy this,
kid. Hey, kid. Come on, kid. You've got to get up.
Hey, kid.
You okay? We need to see if anyone is still alive and what we can salvage. Take this. I took it from one of those Azueri dogs. The Azueri army invaded, kid. Done a fine job of making sure hardly anything was left. They're the huge empire to the south, who we ain't on friendly terms with.
It's a lot of just that,
I didn't know they hired podcasters to do this.
It does feel like somebody talked to a buddy who knew a guy who knew a guy,
Yeah. It's great. It's fine. It's fine. It actually is kind of fun. I actually like that. I actually like it. It makes me feel like I'm playing some Dungeons and Dragons something with a friend. It feels like these people had fun.
Yeah.
These developers had fun.
I don't want to paint this the wrong color. Like it's so far, it's got its moments. No controller support, keyboard and mouse only right now. Steam is where I'm playing this. I should have mentioned that. The random dungeons are really cool. And I really like the way the loot system works. You pop a blue sword out of a guy, swap it on the fly. Now you're a badass. Kill some more goblins with it. Try to get the quest done. There's a quest board, which just basically is like, a new random place to go fight stuff. And loop feels pretty good. Again, a little too floaty. They got to fix that gold because it just pisses me off. Just annoys me the way it flies out like a pancake.
I love it. You don't miss it though. I'll tell you that. I saw that on screen. I'm like, yeah, you're not going to forget to pick that gold up.
Oh yeah. It's obvious that there's now a big yellow glowy thing on the ground. You're not going to miss it. It's cool. Pros that give it gameplay loop is solid so far. Combat simple but fun. This is not a Souls game by any stretch. It really is just hack and slash or. Your magic or whatever you're doing. But it's fun. It's not a bad, I don't say that in a negative way. Still difficult because they hit really hard. They also gang up on you. You got to dodge a lot, but timing hits and parries and all that's not that big a deal. It's not the most crucial part of the game. You do get 100% protection if you time your shield blocks at the right time. But
good
if you're
parry.
Not, but if you're a one sword, two-handed sword, or you're using a big maul or something like that, you don't get the benefit of that. You can still block, but you don't get 100%. Anyway, lots of variety in terms of play style. So the wizard type and the warrior types are very different. And I think that stuff's good. Here are my cons. I think it's very ugly right now. I really think the characterizations are ugly. The animations are weird. They're just sloppy. That will tighten up, I'm sure. At least I hope. I think the voice work is a little rough. And, it just shows it's early access. But for, $12, that's okay. It's not the end of the world. Total, I'd give it a score of 6.5 weird flying goblins out of 10.
Okay.
And they fly pretty high when you hit them hard. I forgot to mention the boon system. So, you know, you're fighting along and you might find an altar, and the altar will give you like one of three boons. And none of them are Ed Boon going toasty. But no, they'll give you like, you know, oh, now your sword has the ability to add fire, you know, just normal stat changes.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah. It's not that unusual. Like, it's like runes in a roguelike or whatever. It's
yeah.
But it works well. They call it boons.
These aren't runes, they're boons.
They're boons. Quit talking about runes. These are boons. Anyway.
Better than Edera, you said? What was it?
Yes, better than Ezra is the band. No, Dungeons of Edera, available now on Steam, and pretty cool so far. I have high hopes for it. Yeah. So we'll keep our eye on that as they work through early access. They also seem to be very responsive, which is a big deal for me. I like when, you know, devs are always communicating what they're doing, why they're doing it, when they're doing it. That just says a lot, I think, about a team. So that's cool stuff. All right, Brian, I've talked enough about that game. Let's talk now about Cooking Shit with Recipe for Disaster.
Cooking Shit with Recipe for Disaster as a restaurant management sim. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
How does opening up and managing your very own restaurant full of low-paid workers by choice, picky eaters, and kitchen fires? How's that sound?
That sounds great. I'm ready. Give me how much do I have to pay for this honor?
Well, on the Humble Store, you can pay $14.44, or you can pay it on Steam for $16.99. Mm. I got the game code. Thank you, developer. Mm. Dapper Penguin Studios, publisher Cassetta Games, I believe that's how you say it. I'm not sure, but they sent me this game code a little bit back, and I got a chance to play it, and I am having a fun. Well, this sounds to me, it sounds like a recipe for disaster, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So what we're doing here is it looks very much like The Sims. You remember The Sims back in the early 2000s?
But Sims 4 is still a thing. People play Max's, the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah. Sims is definitely still around. Now, imagine instead of taking care of the household things, you're, you know, not like the later Sims where you can actually get jobs. This is just centrally focused on restaurant management.
Sure.
And you got campaigns right now. Still, this is early access game, by the way. So if you can imagine looking at a Sims game full of some of the ugliest. You thought your art looked bad. Have you seen these voxels?
I like the blocky look of these people. I'm a fan.
The blocky look too, except it doesn't work when their characters are bald. Oh. You seen that meme on the internet where, you know, it's, I can't remember which one. He's usually standing in front of like a chart and he's bald and the back of his neck goes straight up to the back of his head.
You're talking
like
the stock market guy.
The stock market guy just goes straight up like that. Some of the bald characters in this game are like that. But this game is it really delves into some things that I didn't think I would be doing in some of these Sims like this. Like, you know, kitchen fires, that happens. But really catering to my wait staff and my server staff is where this game is really the most fun, because you get to see what they have to, what they're thinking, get to improve their cooking skills. And probably my favorite thing that's kind of like not like you usually see in some games is the menu and recipe part of the game. Mm. You can make your own recipes. There's like this Visio chart of recipes where you can choose from items.
Yeah.
And you can make your own things. Like you may find out that your restaurant visitors through like a Yelp review type of rating that they give when they leave, maybe they want some grilled salmon and you don't have it on your menu. So you can go into this recipe creator and you can choose the ingredients, salmon, and you know, throw it on the grill, choose how to cook it. And you know, I've never tried to boil it. I wonder if I can boil
salmon.
Salmon.
That didn't sound good.
I know. I'm just trying to think outside the box. Anyway, you make these items. And then you put them on the menu. You mark them up based on your popularity rating. You know, like every time you get a review, you get a popularity rating. They like it or don't like your recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And you can adjust your prices. You can choose to be a little snooty. You can charge higher rates and hire better staff, or you can choose to go low rent. You can, you know, serve a fake McRib of some sort. What I'm thinking about doing.
Yeah, do that. Make a fake. Oh, now I'm buying this game. That sounds great.
Right.
Sweet.
But yeah, like I said, it's a sim game through and through. I have not been able to lock anybody in the bathroom and watch them die yet, like I used to do in The Sims. But
yeah.
There is definitely restroom. That's the main things you do when you first start. When you first start, this is a campaign mode right now. The developers, like I said, early access, are working on a sandbox mode, which is one of the biggest requests they have. And they've actually put the campaign mode on hold for right now because it's got a pretty good. It's got like, I think, like six, maybe five or six scenarios you can play right now.
Yeah.
And they're working on the sandbox mode to try to get it done by the end of the month, because that's everybody's wanting that. Everybody wants the sandbox mode.
Yeah, I love sandbox mode. If I buy a game like this, that's a requirement. It's got to have sandbox mode, or I'm not playing it.
So the developers seem to be very active. They have a great website that maps out everything for their development as they go forward. So they seem to be pretty active and listening pretty well. I haven't seen the first update yet, so I don't know, you know, how well they respond to requests, but they seem to be pretty fit as far as that goes. They seem to be like they're doing pretty good. They seem really interested and hot on making this game better. So A Recipe for Disaster is something I would recommend, because even at its current state and the promises they have, I think if you pick this up on the Humble Store, even on Steam for, you know, around $15-16, I think it's a good experience for at least 6 hours. I think you'd at least squeeze 6 hours, probably well more than that. This is a game going to be something that's going to be replayable. Mm-hmm. You may get bored, though, with the campaign. But the sandbox, I think you probably can just, you know, skyline.
Yeah, that's the fun of a sandbox. You just play. Yeah.
Now, back to what I was saying earlier, backtracking. Yeah, when you first start, it's mostly like just space management, trying to figure out if you're going to be able to fit enough tables and chairs in there, where the bathroom's at, how many toilets you're going to have in there. Because people, they'll let you know they got to pee. Their little toilet icon will pop over their head. You know, just like any sim game.
In Animal Crossing, I came across a lion who said, you can never have enough toilets at your party. That's what he says.
Right.
Yeah. So I feel like he's onto something. And next time I have a party, I'm going to just stack the place with toilets, and that's how it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you first start playing, you're just, you pick a chef. You get to design, you get to lay them out a little bit. You give them a mustache. If you watch, but I gave my guy a mustache and a beard.
Of course.
You can also create uniforms and assign them specifically. Like, you'll notice my game, which you're watching now, my kitchen staff has red shirts, and then the servers have green shirts. So whenever you hire somebody, you can drag them into that group, and they'll automatically start wearing your uniform. If you don't, they'll just have their, I think they wear street clothes, I think, if you don't.
Unexplicably die because they have red shirts on? Does that happen?
No, I thought about that. Now you would, if that was the fact, I think that would have happened already, because kitchen fires are a real danger. And so if you don't put fire extinguishers where you need them and upgrade your staff to having firefighting skills, it's important. Because when you first start, this is like one of the complaints of the game. I'm going to start talking about my cons here real quick.
Give me your cons.
So there's a little bit of uneven gameplay when you first start. So like when you first start, you're like, oh, none of my guys, none of the people I'm hiring is a 1 to 5 scale on skill. Mm-hmm. So if you find somebody comes in and they got like a 1 on the grill, they're probably going to start a fire.
Yeah.
And so you don't have a lot of choices when you first start with those kind of people, which usually like either a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
And so you hire the best you can. You got to figure out, you can negotiate wages and that kind of stuff. All that affects their emotions and their pickiness, but it gets a little bit uneven. Like I said, you'll feel like you're making good progress, and then all of a sudden you just are failing miserably because a series of unfortunate events occur, you know. And in these kind of games, I like a slow upward progression. I like to make little advancements. I don't like when I'm going up and down like a roller coaster of progression. I don't like that.
Do you ever I agree. I don't like to feel like things have gotten away from me.
Right.
And I think it's not that games shouldn't be difficult or have a challenge or whatever. I just appreciate them when they, maybe it's even hidden to me, but make me feel like I'm not getting behind. I might just need more time to get where I want to get, not that it means I'm losing. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I like that in a game.
And I, you know, when I first started playing, I did run into a couple of very small bugs, like in the tutorial. Whenever you do this Vizio style recipe creation where you're making your own recipes, I did something out of order. And when I did, it never would allow me to do the thing that it told me to do. I was supposed to drag something in one spot, but I'd already moved one part of it because I was just fiddling around trying to figure out how to do it. And once I had done that, it would never connect. And so I ended up having to close that recipe out eventually after about 10 minutes of me going, I don't understand. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I closed out, came back in, and then it worked fine. Huh. And I think that was just me maybe fiddling around a little bit too much. But people are going to fiddle. You got to always consider people are going to fiddle.
People will fiddle. That is what people will do. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat says, and you've kind of done it, but talk about the really weird interface. Do you think that that's a big problem with this game? Like a no go for you because of the interface?
No.
Or do you think that's okay?
Right. Now, when I first started, it was a little bit confusing. Like I said, especially got tripped up on that on the recipe creation. But once I figured it out, it worked fairly well.
Okay.
But there's definitely some tweaks they're going to need to do in the user interface. But like I said, if you hop on Steam and they have a Discord server, they seem pretty responsive to suggestions the developers have so far. So like I said, I don't know if they're going to get overwhelmed or, you know, I just got to have good faith here that these developers seem to be doing what they're saying they're doing. And so I'm down with it. And at this point, I've got to say I'd recommend it at the price. And so just a couple of pros real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Fun game loop. I love, you know, building my restaurant. I love expanding my restaurant. You can expand the walls. You can, you know, build new walls. It all costs money, of course. You can paint the floors, paint the walls, add decorations. A pretty good variety of stuff to do currently. Music is fantastic. If you want to play a little bit of that that audio clip I put in there, we can listen to some of that great music.
Yeah, check it out.
I love making my own music.
Wait, you say you can make your own music in here? Is that what you said?
No, my own meals. That
your own meals.
They happen at the same time. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. It's nice.
Yeah. It's jaunty.
Very, very homey, and like I want to go eat there and order from the lady and wink at her and see if she takes that as offensive and then sues me for harassment.
Don't worry. When you first start, your servers are terrible. They're all like twos and ones, and you know some of them have like they all have traits. Some of them are like annoying, or some of them are geniuses. They upgrade faster, but you know,
you don't like the
they're geniuses in a restaurant.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who would annoy the poop out of me. Someone who claims to be a genius, you know what I mean? Ugh, boof.
Right,
boof.
And I kind of mentioned a few. And there's a day night cycle. So there's that you open and close each day, and at the end of each day, you get to review what happened, you know, if there was a disaster, you know, and how much money you're making, if any money, how your employees are doing, if you need to fire somebody and hire somebody. People come through the door every day as well. Not every day, but they'll occasionally just pop up at your restaurant, and you can choose to hire them on the spot. You don't get as many details, or you can go to the hiring board. And I think it changes every day that your available employees you can hire from. So It's got a good bit of depth, in my opinion. But cons, early access, sandbox not available yet.
Yeah.
But they're working on that, according to what they say. Progression does not feel smooth. Mentioned that. And sometimes the characters just stand and stare at walls. I'm like...
Some bad AI.
That's bad. Y'all should... If you're going to stand around, that's fine. But y'all should, like... You should have the characters go outside and smoke or something. You know what I mean? Like, in the back. They shouldn't just be standing there staring at a wall. It's a little unnerving. I start, you know, thinking... Something's wrong with that guy. Fire him.
I gotta tell you, before you give me the score, I gotta tell you this funny story. When I was, I worked at Chi Chi's in high school. Don't ask, the place sucked. But whatever. I worked at Chi Chi's, and Chi Chi's had this thing going on where if you know, they use that old phrase, if you lean, you can, or no, if you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
If there's got time to lean, you got time to clean.
This one guy used to say, and I don't know where he is now or what happened to this guy, but he used to say, if you got time to lean, you got time to put your hand up my butt and touch my spleen. Isn't that a weird thing to say to anybody for any reason? That's weird.
That guy's That guy's definitely a serial killer and has probably been on 2020.
That's what I'm thinking.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably still, he's still got Joe Walsh looking for, not Joe Walsh. What's his name?
Yeah.
Jim Walsh, whoever it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's Walsh. I'm just going to call him Walsh.
By the way,
we're also looking at the clean. You can set zones of cleaning too, by the way. And you have to assign, I didn't mention this, but you have to assign, your employees to areas. So like, you can assign a cleaning area to an employee, tables to an employee. You know, if you want to make one of them a fry cook, you can make them just a fry cook, and you can have his backup. There's usually three. You can choose up to three in each little station in task. So it gets it's a good balancing act. I always feel like I'm doing something. So that's a pro. I'm always feel like I've, you know, I don't feel like I'm standing around smoking. You know,
yeah, I'm a fan of the game letting you feel like you. Like you've always got something to do, but more importantly, that you've kind of uncovered something and the game hasn't been penalizing you for not figuring it out yet.
Right.
I just think that's a really hard balance in a game like this. Like I started playing the new Jurassic World 2 Evolution, whatever it's called, the sequel to that other one. It was pretty popular. Anyway, it's from the Zoo Tycoon people. It's good, but there are times where I'm like, this should either be intuitive or you got to tell me. Like, you have to say,
exactly.
or just why, you know, what's the damn point if I can't figure it out? I hate that name.
Exactly. I'm the same way. It's either got to be intuitive or we got to have a discussion.
Yeah. We're going to have a talk. We're going to have to say things to each other that we may regret in the morning after we say them.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But that's cool. What's the score for this thing? How much are you going to give it?
I'm going to give this score a pretty high score. Like I said, I think it has it's early access. I don't usually give this high a score to early access, but I for some reason, I'm just getting a good vibe from these guys, and we're probably going to disappoint, but maybe not. Maybe not. 8 kitchen fires out of 10. Everybody is fired. You're all fired.
I like it. Check that out. Recipe for Disaster.
There's the menu recipe creation, by the way, that's on the screen now. That's me.
Oh, it is like Vizio. I thought you were kidding.
No, you got to drag those little arrows around and this step.
Yeah, it's hierarchy charts, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Get to name them, whatever you want to name them. I had a good time when I streamed this with the chat room. I would name them after members of the chat room. It was a lot of fun.
There's a game that I'm playing, but I have it. It's also in early access. It's a lot like this. Now I'm starting to freak me out. Like maybe the dev split off and said, we're doing our own version or something, because it's very similar. I'll have to figure that out and tell you what it is later. But
I had Tavern Master on my Tavern Master or Tavern Maker. I think it's Tavern Master. It's kind of a similar idea.
Yeah.
But it's with old school tavern beer, you know, kind of tavern stuff. So
gotcha.
I don't know. I was gonna play it next, but I just don't. Yes, Tavern Master. It just came out today,
Tavern
and I got a game code for this one, and I want to play it.
Yeah.
But I might have to take a week or two in between.
Yeah, I've got one like that. That's like a tavern, except they call it something rest, Lodger's Rest, or something like that. And I really like that game. Also, there's a lot of these in early access. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a ton of these.
I have. It's a popular thing to do right now. Yeah. Hey, when there's a good idea, you're looking for something fun to make. Why not?
Well, especially in this genre, though, like build a thing, manage a thing. Like, I think they benefit a lot from just statistics from people playing and figuring out how they're going to get their game out. And if you don't have that, you have less data to work with. So I guess I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. That game again is Brian's game is where the hell? Recipe for Disaster.
Yes.
Recipe for Disaster and Dungeons of Adara is my game for those who like to have us repeat the name of the game multiple times. Okay. There it is.
It's
a bad thing. I'm happy to do it. Once again, I'm here to tell you how rad and unbelievably cool Arcane is. Scott, what is Arcane? Is that what you're asking me? I can't believe you'd ask me that, because you should know by now. But if you don't, I'm happy to be here to tell you that this show is brought to you by Arcane. Introduce yourself to one of the coolest things on streaming right now. It's a 9-episode, 3-part series that follows the story of two young girls, Vi and Powder, born in the Undercity beneath Piltover. Their eagerness to prove themselves will set in motion a series of events that will take their relationship to its breaking point and transform them forever. It is actually and truly the animation event of the year. And you're going to see champions that you love from League of Legends. But maybe you don't play the game yet. And if you don't, it's okay, because Arcane is awesome with or without it. In fact, if anything, it's just driving me to go play more Riot games. But anyway, it's really, really great. Vi, Jinx, Heimdinger, Jace, their stories will all... I hope I'm saying that guy's name right. I'm watching the show and I love it, but I'm not sure I ever get his name right. But their stories will all intertwine. And you love them, you already know them. And if you don't, it don't matter. You're going to love them now. In this very action-packed series, whether you're a longtime League player or you're brand new to things like Runeterra, their arcade game, or their card game, which is fantastic also. Arcane serves as a perfect introduction to the vast world of League of Legends, focusing on the origins of some of its best and most iconic characters. I think this may be my favorite new thing on Netflix. I absolutely adore it. And it's all there for the taking. Just go watch it. Oh my gosh, it's so good. We're not even asking that much. Just go sit down and watch this amazing thing. Dive into the stories behind one of the most played games of all time. Discover the secrets of Piltover and its Undercity. And prepare for the epic battle that is only just beginning. Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix. Now this.
It's a me, Mario.
Time to play Guess Our Game. We play clips from old games and we try to guess what each other's game is. And today is no different. I'm going to start with a clip that I will give you a couple of hints for. Hint number one, 1989.
Oh, going back to the 80s, so do I, but I went much earlier.
The other hint, PC. I guess DOS, right? Okay. Would have been 89, would have been DOS?
89 would have been DOS.
Okay. Right?
I doubt we would have had anything other than DOS.
Well, I mean, it was DOS out by then. I assume it was. It had to have been.
No, I mean, was it out? Was it running? Of course it was. I don't think, well, it was probably in three territory, right? Windows 3?
First version of DOS. 89? Let me just see when that came out. Timeline of the DOS operating system. Okay, so the very first version was that.
Bill Gates was writing that in his garage during the early 80s, right?
Well, no, he didn't. They stole it. It wasn't even his. They bought it. They paid way too little to Tim Patterson, who came up with it in 1980. And then there's that whole story about it. They really ripped that dude off. Looks like 81, they acquired it and they gave it to IBM. 82, yeah, but by 89, it was well out. So, yeah, we had the DOS shell.
So, I would launch this up in my DOS box. Yeah. Every once in a while, I hate myself enough to launch a DOS box game.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to do things that you hate once in a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are your hints. It's a PC game, and let's see if you can figure it out. And by the way, this is a game that went on to make many more down the road. So there's your other hint. All right, here you go. Any inkling there?
That sounds so familiar. What?
I played
it. Does sound familiar.
At my friend's house, because my friend had his dad had a cool computer and it played it. Mine would not play this at the time.
Well, that was pretty advanced audio work there.
Yeah, not bad for 89. It's a pretty impressive. I'm going to give it another hint here. Let's say, how do I put this? Let's say it's somewhat military themed.
Okay.
Now, the reason I didn't 89. Play anything but that song is because the game itself features no sound. Like,
interesting.
No sound.
Yeah, that was common for DOS games during that time.
It was really weird, I thought.
Yeah.
The other hint I'll give you is there are airplanes involved.
Okay. It's not a shoot 'em up, right? Because shoot 'em ups have lots of audio. I wouldn't think that. So it's military.
Yep.
Is it like a battle in the name? Battle.
Oh, Greg's so close. No, it's not that. By the way, I'll just tell you so far, these are the ones that it's not. Someone said Choplifter. Tally says Choplifter again. Like she does every week.
Now, this is actually probably closer to Choplifter than we've had in a while. So
probably time wise, yeah. Yeah. The era is much closer. I'll give you that.
Right.
Not Strike Commander chat, not Battlezone.
But are we on a military ship with airplanes being launched off of it? Is that
not necessarily the ship, but Bombat's got it.
Okay.
Although it's a longer title.
Good job, Bombats. Bombats has been playing some old school games recently, too, so probably got in that frame of mind.
I'll give you another hint. It's got the word eagle in it. Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Eagle. And no, eagle it's not based on Iron Eagle, so don't think that.
Right.
Yeah. I realized I could be giving you a hint that would send you down the Iron Eagle road. You don't want to go there.
I swear. It doesn't have much game audio in it. That's weird.
And it's really weird. It's very
little. I can see that MS-DOS stupid color logo on a box and one of those Hornets or what are they? What are those? The F, whatever they are, the fighter planes.
Oh, F what? What is it? F? Get the F there?
F was F? Is it F? F something? F? F 150.
You are nope. That's a truck, but it's not that far off.
F-250.
Yeah.
The F. Oh, I don't know.
It's a truck with wings. All right, you give up. I'll give it to you. You ready?
I give up.
All right, here's
up.
This for you. Here's the correct answer. It is F-15. Strike.
Oh, yeah, so I did get F. Oh, so
you
F
were close.
The name of it.
F-15 Strike Eagle is the full name.
Oh, Strike Eagle.
And there's a bunch of these since. There's even a recent couple of years ago, another one. They just keep making them, and it's for it's only for weirdos because you never hear about it anywhere else.
Let me look it up now. Let me see what it is. It's F.
Super old.
I keep wanting to call it F-150. Why do I got F-150 in my head?
Well, you know, F-150, F-15. You're only missing a zero. So I understand that. F-1 Eagle, 1989.
Eagle Strike, right? Play. Strike Eagle?
Strike Eagle. Eagle
Smith. Strike Eagle.
Yeah, Strike Eagle. I'll show the chat some video here while you're looking that up.
I want to see this.
It used what I can only call it like a rudimentary, sort of rudimentary.
Oh, yeah. See, this is what I was thinking about. That battleship shot you just had, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. There's some of it where they just take off from the ground, though. But yeah, there's some of that. I mean, the closest thing I can compare it to is I don't know. Other flight sims.
MicroProse title. God.
Yeah, that's all they made back then is this weird stuff.
Yeah.
And people still like this kind of stuff. So I prefer Namco's, what's the name of that flight series they do? It's ridiculous. Over the top anime bullshit, but I love it. They're fun as crap.
They just had one of those come out recently too, didn't they?
They did. Sort of. 9, I think, is the most recent release, maybe a couple years now. But but yeah, at the time, this was a big deal. And the fact that, you know, there was something that sort of looked 3D.
Yeah.
Even though it was, you know, really, really rudimentary, it was pretty impressive for that
it's
year.
Pretty cool. So,
yeah.
It's not bad.
This kid's dad had a really nice computer back then, probably whatever standard that was.
I don't remember this. I don't remember this cover box. Maybe it was a different cover box I saw. Maybe I saw the gold edition, or maybe I saw one of the later versions. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Which one is it? What version is this one?
I don't know. Could be more because they, like I said, they just kept making them.
So. Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's where I remember it from.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks familiar. It's the Sega Genesis F1 F-15 Strike Eagle 2.
Oh, okay. That's a Genesis game. Wow. All right. The Wraith in the chat says 10 F-15s equal 1 F-150. All right, then.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
That doesn't work. Oh, no, it does.
10 times?
Yeah.
10? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. For every 10 games that they made of the East Eagle Strike games or Strike Eagle games, they made one off-road trucking game with an F-150 in it. Nice. All right. Ooh, Brian froze up. A perfect moment. Look at that.
Oh,
you're good now. Or were you just making a face?
Oh, yeah. I was just staring at the screen, so I might have just been sitting there. There we go.
You made a face that looked like it was frozen. It was perfect timing. Oh, that makes me laugh. All right, Brian, I'm going to play your clip now. Let's see if I can figure out what this is. What are my hints,
now,
please?
This is, before we do it, Kerwin sent me this. I hope Kerwin's in the chat room. I told him I was going to use it this week. But yes, 1983 is the suggested game.
Okay, 83. Let's play it. Here we go.
83.
I know this. Okay. What year did you give me? 83?
1983. In arcades, of course.
This is going to drive me crazy.
Tato game.
Yeah. It's not Clax.
Nope.
Okay, hold on then.
What if I said... Are you feeling close, or should I give you another?
Give me another hint.
Play is aged 17.
Wait, this isn't
when you figure it out.
Agent 17. Oh my gosh.
I played the crap out of this.
I think I give up. I can't. I know this. I know this sound.
What if I said you go up and down?
Is this elevator action?
Elevator action, man.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, it was too jaunty, but you're right. That's the music. Oh, my gosh. That's music. That took a lot out of my soul.
Look at you, Kerwin. You stubbed Scott.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, a lot of up and down. That put it over the edge. This was very... People loved elevator action back then.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was so good. It was such a... It was... Yeah. The action just kept going, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I had friends who just thought it was the greatest game in the arcade. Yeah. So I mean, that's all he would play. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, you could play this one forever. This is one of the good games that you'd put a quarter in. You'd just be there for, yeah. You could just play forever.
Play as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, we now fold over into a new era, which is emails. I don't know what any of that meant, so why did I say it? Let's read this email that we got from Derek. He wrote into boopshow@gmail.com. He says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, why don't big IPs allow their stuff to be made into smaller games once in a while? Nothing wrong with AAA Star Wars games alongside some small indie games about Star Wars, right?" says Derek. You know what? This is a great question. Like, why couldn't you have your big Battlefield 2s and your big or Battle... What was it called? What's the Star Wars one? Not Battlefield.
Battlefront.
Let's say you do your Battlefront, you got your redheaded guy Jedi game and all that. Those are big AAA, big games, right? Cool, great, well done. But why can't you have, and I don't mean mobile bullshit that's like, you know,
yeah,
the Galaxy of Heroes stuff or whatever. I mean like a small side-scrolling action Metroidvania style Star Wars game with a bounty hunter on the run. Like, why not?
Yes, I would dig something like that so much. And it's a good question. It would be a little bit of a risk because there is a lot, you know, there's a lot fewer sales in the indie scene. But yeah, why not take a risk? So, especially on something like Star Wars. I mean, what's the risk? I mean, what's the real big risk? I guess you could have damage to the IP. Whatever.
No,
you got to take a small risk.
There's plenty of damage to the IP without any help from indie developers. They might actually prove it. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know why that's so... Why you don't see that. Maybe they just think, well, if we're going to put any development into a smaller product, it's going to be mobile because that's the market we're in. And I understand.
Right.
I totally get it.
I think it's probably kind of like how collegiate shirts are. Like when my mom used to have a gift store, you know, you could sell a regular shirt for X number of dollars. But then if you tried to sell like a local college shirt, you would have to pay, you know, like $10 just to them. And it priced your shirts at like $30 just to make a profit.
Right. That makes
sense. So, I mean, would that put these indie games at, you know, $30 and $40 to, you know, pay out on Disney? I don't know. But I'm with you. The mobile game thing is all right. The most successful one I saw was like, you know, like Fallout Shelter. That was pretty good fun for a while, but that wasn't really fully indie developed. But there's been a couple of IPs. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Smaller things.
It's usually them doing it, though. Like, you know, a tiny... Well, like, you know, you could say Hearthstone is like a smaller spinoff from the bigger IP. But that's still Blizzard making it. Like, you know, I'm not saying that it can't be that way. I just think smaller games, smaller experiences, there's room for those right now.
I think there's so much brilliance in the indie scene.
My favorite game based on a movie in a long time was that Mummy game. And the movie sucked balls, but the game is so good. It's this pixelated. Yeah. I'm going to play that again. In fact, I like that game so much. It was really good. It was like a Castlevania style structured thing, and it was awesome. The game was great.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a great question.
I agree, Derek.
Maybe somebody will write in and explain to us why it's a problem.
I'm sure it's always, you know, it's like money, but you know.
Yeah.
Come on.
Speaking of, take a chance. Speaking of numbers, big numbers. I want to thank the following people for 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. For example, Doc Brown 42 put a review on there saying fun Mark. Show. Great show that has introduced me to so many indie titles. Well, good. Oh. That's our whole thing. Also got one from Meaty Cow who says, fun, informative show about games. I love listening to Scott and Brian. They have great chemistry and talk about a lot of the games that are formerly unknown to me, and I appreciate that. Well, thank you, Meaty Cow. That's very nice. Really nice. If you'd like to leave us a review, you're always welcome to do that. If you want to hit us up on the website and do other things, you can do that too. We're at frogpants.com/BOOP. And, of course, give me and Brian a Twitch follow, if you don't mind. Frog Pants is the channel you're watching this live on now. Or Brian Dunaway and Brian. Just follow them both. Why not?
Yeah. Just do both.
Yeah. It'll let you know when we're going live and all that fun stuff. So check that out. In fact, not too long after the show ends, in about 20 minutes, I'll be doing some light streaming. So some of you may want to stick around for that.
Oh, just some light streaming. Okay. So at 320p or something, you know.
Yeah, just some light 320p low res. Right. Yeah, we're taking the internet back, dude. That's what's happening. Anyway, so check those out. That's going to do it for us. Follow us on Twitter at Boop Show, too, by the way. Hey, Brian, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Scott's game this week was Dungeons of Adara, and mine was Recipe for Disaster. And like Scott said, you can follow both of us on Twitch. Do it so we can stream during the week. We do it all the time.
Yeah, damn it.
Do it.
Get in there. Make it happen. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We will see you next time right here on The Boop Show. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.